Good evening or good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our championship week video notebook, day number 9, the 9th day of the week. David,
Chad, can you let me out of the bunker?
No, you're in the bunker.
I can't really see any. It's dark in here, Chad.
Yeah, we turned the lights out on David tonight as well. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org joining us. David Griggs locked in the bunker. Doesn't even have a video because of the you know, we didn't bother paying the electric bill, I don't think, this week.
Maybe no, the lights are off in here, Chad.
But we've got a lot to get to. It was a very, very busy day in college basketball. But on this show, we like to do some news and notes. We'll review all the conference tournament games that took place. We'll preview tomorrow's games. We'll update our survival board. We'll do a few other things. Let's start with some news and notes. Let's start with, you know, the majority of the conferences that were still going finished up the regular season today. There's about four or five that I think have one or two games tomorrow, but few games of note. Beginning, Rocco, in the ACC, where we had, I think, three games of note, beginning with Florida State's crazy loss to Notre Dame, coupled with Virginia's win at Louisville, gives Virginia the regular season crown in the ACC.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I mean, it was, you know, Florida State went to Notre Dame on their senior day. Notre Dame came out on fire. Florida State actually came all the way back and cut it to two, I think, with a good 4 or 5 minutes left. I was like, okay, they're going to find a way to pull it out. But right at that moment, Notre Dame stretched it out and pulled away. Good win for them. Damaging, a little bit of a damaging loss for Florida State. At least for them, it was on the road. Might not hurt them that bad. And then as far as Virginia goes, nice road win. Louisville's a tough team to figure out. And a little bit more questions than answers still on that team. We'll see how they do in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, they definitely have some questions. And we do have, by the way, if you check out the conference tournament bracket, we've got all the conference tournament brackets up there, including the ACC did get released today. Yeah. Louisville, for example, is going to be beginning with the winner of a first-round game between Duke and Boston College. And David, how about that? Duke in the first round, the opening round of the ACC tournament, after they lose to North Carolina and just get crushed by them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great rivalry. The two teams are actually 8 miles apart, and they've never met the NCAA tournament. And this year, Duke probably isn't going to be meeting anyone in the NCAA tournament. If they play like they did today, not to take anything away from North Carolina, but they just got boat raced. They may not beat Boston College.
Another conference I want to hit as quickly is the Big East Conference. Three games of note, two of them involving the bubble, as Seton Hall loses to St. John's. After jumping out to an 18-0 lead, Seton Hall loses to St. John's. And Xavier loses to Marquette. The Hall and Xavier are both on or beyond life support at this point, although the Johnny's back in the picture, Rocco.
Yeah, Johnny's back in the picture, and just a tremendous bounce back by the Johnny's to come back from 18-0 in that local rivalry game. And, you know, crazy enough, the bracket came out also, and they got to face each other again in the 4-5 game on Thursday.
That's awesome.
Another de facto loser out game, but – yeah, Johnny's obviously a little closer to the cut line now than Hall, and some things to like. They do have a road UConn win that is aging like a fine wine, so keep that in the back of your mind as we go.
UConn ended up with a 3 seed in the Big East tournament. I would not have thought that would have happened a few weeks ago, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and you're right. UConn lands with the 3, and probably almost everybody's picked to win it because Villanova's got issues, and so does Creighton's got internal issues, so. Yeah, and Connecticut looked amazing today. Georgetown came in feeling good, and they blew their doors off in the first half. It was really impressive.
Yeah, and Villanova, David, first full game without Colin Gillespie, and what happens? Oh, they just have Justin Moore go down with an injury as well. Hopefully he can come back, but they lose to Providence. Not a good sign if they want to maintain a good seed here.
Right, and it's unfortunate for a lot of reasons. First, like for the player himself, you feel awful that had to happen to him. Villanova, up until that game, had looked really good. I mean, after sort of, you know, looking a little pedestrian or not firing on all cylinders or not playing up to their season, they just had a really good game up until that injury. And today, falling to Providence, and I even without him, I thought they'd beat Providence. But it's obvious that there's an adjustment period going on with them right now.
Yeah, they got to show me something in the Big East tournament, or I'm not going to be comfortable giving them anything close to a protected seed. They could be folded to the five or six line, quite honestly. Rocco, the Big Ten, couple notes. First of all, my team, Rutgers, probably locked up an NCAA tournament bid with the win at Minnesota. Purdue, I think, knocked Indiana out of any real hope that they might have still had with their win over the Hoosiers. And a huge game between Illinois and Ohio State, although I don't know that we really proved anything one way or the other. But Illinois gets the win at Ohio State and is now a lock for one seed, in my opinion, at least.
You think they're a lock? Yeah, I mean, they certainly put a lot more distance between themselves and Ohio State. Really hard for Ohio State to win that argument now. Losing on their home floor, you know, even if they met next week and got a win over them, it's not as impressive as Illinois winning at Ohio State. So I agree with that. And I think, you know, I guess the wild card's Iowa. If Iowa goes off in the Big Ten tournament somehow, wins the whole thing, maybe they steal the last one from Illinois. But yeah, Illinois is in great shape. Io came back today too, which is outstanding news. Get an extra game in for him. And yeah, it was a really good finish. And Ohio State fell short. And they've now lost four straight. So that's an interesting storyline too.
Four straight, but three of them were Michigan, Iowa, and Illinois.
Yeah.
And
a bubble team.
And Michigan State. Yeah, I'll give that. David, in the Big 12, the game of note was Oklahoma State without Cade Cunningham, without the, his name slips my mind, the second best scorer as well, goes and wins at West Virginia. I mean, yeah, likely. That was a statement win for Oklahoma Cowboys.
The Pokes are having a hell of a finish here, getting the two straight back-to-back wins against Oklahoma, who's a protected seed. Then they deal with the injuries, and then they go to West Virginia and win. I was big on the Pokes really early. I just like them a lot and kind of spoke up for them. But as good as I thought they were then, I didn't think they were anywhere near as good as they've looked in the past week. That's preposterous to get three wins like that and then be down two key players. It doesn't make any sense.
That was Lakili, is that right? Who was the
Likely, yes.
Sorry, I can never pronounce his name. But he was out as well. So Rocco, amazing. Pac-12, you're a Pac-12 guy. How about UCLA? Looked like they had USC wrapped up, and USC steals it at the buzzer.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Corner three by Taj Eddie. And to make matters worse, you know, on the other end, Jules Bernard missed a front end of a 1-1. You know, even if he just makes one out of two, they're up by three and would have gone to OT or maybe even put it away. And so it had enormous consequences because UCLA
would say so.
Yeah. Not only just your rival, but, you know, there's a decent chance Oregon could lose to Oregon State. You know, we'll see. It's a road game for Oregon. There's a lot on the line in that game, too. Maybe we'll talk about that. But if somehow Oregon loses tomorrow, that game was for the Pac-12 title. So now it's instead of UCLA being in that position, it's USC suddenly in that position. So that, I mean, enormous drama there in L.A.
Yeah, David, SEC, a couple games of note. LSU, a real nice win at Missouri, which may have locked up their tournament bid if they weren't there already.
I would say so, and I was really impressed with LSU in this game, largely because I had been really impressed with Mizzou in their last game. But, yeah, I think this pretty much locks it up for LSU.
Also, Arkansas got a hell of a battle from Texas A&M, but did somehow find a way to pull it out. And what are they, like 12 in a row now or something insane?
Arkansas is insane. And it's kind of crazy to think that there was a day that we were laughing that, Zach even considered selecting Arkansas. And, I mean, this is a team, if you're going to be good for half of the year, at least they picked the right half.
Yeah, so they're going to be heading into the SEC tournament. That field, I don't think it's announced till tomorrow. A few notes in some of the smaller under-the-radar conferences as well. Congrats, first of all, both to Jackson State and Prairie View. They joined Gonzaga as the only three teams to go undefeated in regular season play in their conference. The two-bid SWAC is a real thing. Gonzaga, Jackson State, Prairie View, it's a very short list.
I'll take them over Xavier right now.
I will too. Well, also, congrats to Southern Utah, their first ever Big Sky championship.
Yeah, first ever Big Sky championship. And I also read they actually have never even had a first round bye before. So not only like getting past that hurdle, but all the way up to the champions. And I read a little bit of the quotes in the post game, and I'm forgetting the coach's name. I'll look that up later, but he's going to send a present to Idaho State for knocking off Eastern Washington to make it all possible. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, so they'll have the one seed in that tournament. We'll talk about that in a couple of days when it gets started. David, a couple of notes. Western Kentucky barely survived Old Dominion after losing to them yesterday by 3 points there. And congratulations to Delaware State, winless against D1 until the final game because they're ineligible for the MEAC tournament. They finished the season on a victory. Very few teams do that. And they probably avoided our Centenary Award, which may be going to Denver now.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Centenary Award could get you into the field because it gets you on the board. I mean, let's not forget that tactical error. But Delaware State wins a game that they added, if I'm not mistaken. And to your other point, Western Kentucky's had a really good year. They had some big wins, but one of their wins better be that last win. Rocco's the committee guessing expert on our panel, but I don't think – they've done enough. At the very least, they're not going to be feeling safe or locked up without that auto bid.
I agreed. I think if they make losing the CUSA final, they become a team that people talk about a lot. But I agree. I think they're on the wrong side of the bubble, even with that.
Yeah, I think they're a few spots away from the cut line right now, and that's after a pretty bad day for the bubble. And we haven't had any bid steals yet, and so the chaos that comes next week. It would have to be a perfect storm, and you're right. Like a loss in the finals to one of these top squads, like a La Tech or a Marshall, perhaps a North Texas, would make them a very long discussion. And hopefully at least the committee would make them an alternative team, one of the four, if they don't get in that event.
Yeah.
Let's get to some conference tournament action. Go ahead and pull the screen up here. And let's start with the one conference tournament, the only conference tournament that's gone that's been completed so far, although Liberty we know has locked up the Sun automatic bid, but Morehead State goes and plays Belmont, a Belmont team that was so dominant during the OVC regular season and just blew them out of the building. So congratulations to Morehead, first NCAA tournament bid in over 10 years, David.
Yeah, and it's kind of almost preposterous. Like, Morehead has had a really good season, there's no doubt, but they looked ridiculous today. I mean, the best thing I could explain is that they looked like Belmont. I mean, that was – if you'd have told me that the margin was going to be 15, I would have said, okay, well, you know, Belmont won, great, great season for Morehead. But it was – this was a team that was picked eighth at Media Day that, like, barely made the conference tournament a year ago. And that in Preston Spradlin's first year as a head coach, only won 61 games. I mean, the ascension, the rate of improvement between last year and this year is arguably one of the most improved teams in the nation. When you look at how, you know, bad they looked at the end of that last year and how good they looked today.
Yeah, and 15-point final, it was over 20 points at points of the second. The half there at Rocco, Morehead State, around the 14th seed, and how dangerous are they in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think based on what we know right this moment, 14 is a good guess. I think when the net comes out tomorrow, they were 134 this morning. A big blowout win over a team that much higher than them is going to probably knock them up about 20 spots. So let's just say 115 to round it out. And then, you know, that's also a Q2 win today. And then only one Q4 loss for the Eagles, a chunk of count them six Q3 wins. So you start measuring that up against the other auto bid winners, which we don't know who they are yet, but just looking at the best teams right now, they're probably already a 14, and then they could continue to climb if a bunch of upsets occur.
Yeah. And at a 14, if they get to a 13, I think they definitely have a shot at winning a game. 14 is still going to be tough, but they're a dangerous team. They play the way they play tonight. They will beat somebody in the NCAA tonight. Tournament.
And props to Devin Cooper. I mean, he just played outstanding, I thought, all three games of this tournament. And without him, they don't beat Eastern Kentucky. And so that got them to tonight. And obviously, Brougham had the ridiculous game tonight. But, yeah, very awesome performance. Just hats off.
Yeah, and I want to say hats off to Belmont, not for tonight, but for the season they had. Yes. And you do feel sorry for a team that won the auto bid last year, didn't get to participate, blew through their season, winning all but one game, then had a key injury and, you know, losing their final two regular season games and then getting to the final once he once they got him back, but not being able to get over the top. Part of me doesn't, I mean, if you're a Belmont fan, you're probably thinking this is all really unfair, and I understand that, but they deserve props for what they accomplished this year.
And I think they have a real shot at an NIT bid, even though with the smaller NIT field, I think they really do. There's no auto bids to the NIT this year, but I think, you know, they're probably I guess if they go with four regions with four seeds, they're probably a four seed of the NIT. But I think they got a shot there. Let's run through the rest of the conference a little bit quicker. We are running a little slow so far. But starting with the Atlantic 10, where Rocco, we really didn't have the great games we thought we would have. And, you know, this has kind of been a tournament that's almost disappointed with not having the great games we thought we'd have the entire way here.
Yeah, it's been extremely chalky and in a bizarre way, like you said, just a lot of margin between VCU, the Bonnies, and everybody else. But on the flip side of that, I mean, I think VCU and the Bonnies have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are established, really good teams, tournament teams. And regardless of how the final goes, hopefully we do get a good championship because they've both performed really well the last 2 days. But regardless of what happens there, I think they both can feel really darn good about making the tournament.
Yeah, I think they will be in at this point. The gate, especially with the championship game being on Selection Sunday, it'll be a week until that game.
Yeah,
it makes the committee is going to say, "Hey, let's put it in." Also, St. Louis still on the board, and there's talk that they might try to schedule a non-conference game this week. So we'll see if they could get the game scheduled. If they win that game and it's against a decent opponent, maybe that'll help them still push them into the field, but I think they're a long shot right now.
I would like to point out Belmont and Moorhead are available.
That's true. Yeah, and that's an interesting point. And there's also, you know, we'll get to the Missouri Valley in a minute, but Missouri State's coach Dana Ford entertained the idea of having a non-league game, and they're in the same state. I would imagine St. Louis wants to play somebody on the road because that's where they have absolutely no proof in the pudding. So they would need that.
Well, let's go right to
Moorhead.
Let's go right to the Missouri Valley then, which started out with a blowout as Loyola Chicago just crushed Indiana State. But then one of the best games of the day was this Drake Missouri State game, Rocco, that just went back and forth and Yesufu. If I said his name correctly?
Yeah, Yesufu. Yes,
Yesufu. I mean, what a game he had, and he scores the win at the buzzer.
Yeah, this kid is dynamite. He played all 40 minutes basically out of necessity, you know, with no Roman Penn in the rotation. And, you know, he was going toe for toe with Missouri State. And what a just a back and forth, up and down game. I thought also Tramell Murphy, you know, that what happened at the end of the game with the two different stoppages because his nose wouldn't stop bleeding. And
the refs gave him a lot of time too.
That was huge for Drake. But I thought his bloody nose and his, you know, perseverance through that was a microcosm of how he played the entire game. And that's what he means to this Drake team, just brings the energy. He also was a perfect 8 for 8 on his 2-point attempts and 4 for 4 from the line, put up 20 points. And I think Darian DeVries is just an unbelievable coach. The way he managed this 7-man rotation, he gave a little more trust to the bench than he has in the past few weeks in the Valley. So hats off, just an unbelievable game and a hell of a year for Missouri State as well.
Yeah. And David, Loyola Chicago and Drake tomorrow. Loyola, we think, is in no matter what. Drake will definitely be on the bubble if they lose. What if they get blown out? What if they lose a close one?
I don't know how much that matters. I don't know if they're going to split hairs that much to where in a singular game, did you lose by 20 or did you lose by 5? Certainly, if you know, to pick one or the other, it's better to go down swinging in a close game. But I think Loyola is definitely in, perhaps even in on the first ballot, perhaps in the top half of the bracket, with or without a win.
Let's jump over to the America East, which was where it was semifinal day. And I think I made a comment last night that these semifinals are going to be much like what we're projecting for the West Coast Conference semifinals. They will be just a pair of blowouts, and boy, yeah, was I wrong. Wrong. Wow. Yeah, beginning day with UMass Lowell was down 16 points, made a huge comeback, and you know, Connor Withers has 9 3-pointers in this game, and they steal the one at UMBC, and then Hartford follows that up with a unbelievable win at Vermont, setting up a battle of two teams that have never been to the NCAA tournament before in Hartford and Lowell next Saturday.
Yes, and Hartford is hosting. Howie is hosting. I have spoken to Zach. He intends to be there.
Rocco, though, what about the – I mean, were you as shocked as I was about both these results?
Yeah, you know, it was crazy. There was a lot going on, and I was focusing a lot on the Arch Madness game going on at the time. And so I hadn't even heard that UMass Lowell made that huge rally to beat UMBC. I think the last time I saw the score, it was about 14-15-point lead for the Retrievers. I figured they had it in the bag. And then as Hartford was closing out Vermont, I saw a note that if they win, they play Lowell, and I was just – floored. So I immediately watched the end of that. I saw the last minute, but incredible. I mean, you summed it up beautifully. I think you get two teams who have never been there that everybody overlooked at the start of the bracket. It's amazing. And I think, you know, I'm looking at this, they split in the regular season. So anybody's ball game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing about this tournament, as you see in the bracket, they reseed each round. They will be reseeding for the championship.
The final. Okay, let's keep going then. Northeast Conference, a 14 tournament only.
Also reseeding.
Yes. Began with a we had one upset and one non-upset in this tournament. Bryant just absolutely crushed Sacred Heart, but Rocco, Mount St. Mary's goes to Wagner and really shocking victory, I thought.
Yeah, Mount St. Mary's just got beat twice on their own home court by Wagner a couple weeks ago. And one of them was brutally bad, lost by 22 and only scored 39 points. Tonight obviously came out with a much stronger game plan. It looks like, you know, for the most part, they controlled it throughout. You know, effective defensively. Looks like only 16 made field goals the entire game for Wagner. And, you know, hats off. Mount St. Mary's is a team that I thought has played really strong defense. Obviously, they play a ridiculously slow tempo, ranked 356 in tempo. But you know what that means? It means in postseason play, you're actually very deliberate with the basketball, and that can be very effective in a tournament format. And so hats off to Dan Engelstad and the Mount. Big win.
Yeah, I think the Mount can win this championship game Tuesday night as well against, even though it's in Rhode Island, against Bryant. Play.
You got one of the top tempos against the worst tempo. It's going to be nuts. Mm-hmm. And the Bryant thing was crazy too. I don't know if you saw right before tip-off, but they announced that both Childs and Green were going to be missing. So they only really had 6 scholarship players. And was really tilted towards Sacred Heart winning. And then Bryant didn't care. They just used the guys they had to play their style and blew their doors off. It was amazing.
Yeah, Bryant actually had a COVID shutdown. They were just coming back out of it. So, you know, I was worried whether they would even be able to participate in the Northeast Conference tournament, but they'll have a shot Tuesday night. Over in the Sun Belt, it was quarterfinal day. And, well, I guess let's, you know, I start with the top two games there, where Georgia State had a real tough fight, David, from Arkansas State, but found a way to win. And then Louisiana just kind of took over in the second half. They were down to South Alabama much of the game in the first, but took over in the second half to advance.
Yeah, and Georgia State, that was a fight. They were down for a lot of that game, down late in that game, I think. And you know, they did pull it out. I still can't help but think Georgia State has a high ceiling that they just don't always play up to, or at least not anywhere nearly as often as they should, but they got a chance. Louisiana, I've liked them at points too during the year. Of course, on Under the Radar, it seems like we've probably liked about 6 or 7 different teams in this league.
I think it's going to be
one point or another.
Yeah, this is going to be a great semifinal. I think Georgia State and Louisiana tomorrow. I think they're two very
even teams. Yeah, I think they're both going to be good. And I'm starting, again, to kind of get excited about this Coastal Carolina team.
Rocco Coastal, it was closer about maybe early into the second half, and then they just put Troy away. But how about this App State Texas State game with Caleb Asbury, 2 3-pointers for Texas State in the last 10 seconds to force overtime, and then he misses the three at the end of overtime that could have forced a second one.
Well, it was just incredible. It was the shot of the day for sure across college basketball. Just like a rainbow from the wing. Pretty.
Remember, he'd hit another one 6 seconds earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. It was Appalachian State, though. I want to say just hats off. They outplayed Texas State and had a great game plan. And good on Dustin Kearns, you know, Appalachian State's head coach. After the game, he really put a good word in for Texas State's interim coach, Coach Johnson, to get the head job. He asked what the heck they're waiting for. And I want to echo that here while we're talking about Texas State. Their season, unfortunately, comes to a close after a great Sun Belt regular season title. But Terrence Johnson definitely deserves the job. So
he does.
Hopefully we get hear that announcement soon.
Yeah. Rocco, what do you like in this late semifinal tomorrow, the App State Coastal game?
App State Coastal, interestingly, they had their series canceled. App State's looked really good. I think Coastal's got more talent. I guess the talent wins out, and Coastal's much more rested. They just played the first game, and they got a nice blowout. I'll go with the fresh legs and the Chanticleers.
Patriot League, it was quarterfinal day. And David, we started off the Patriot League day with the one seed Navy just done. Not bothering to even show up to their game. I guess they made a run in the second half, but never enough to catch up to Loyola after Loyola blew them out in the first half.
Yeah, one of the more shocking results of the day, in a day that was filled with shocking results, but Navy, who had looked so good all the way back to November, really just, I mean, they picked a bad day to have a bad day.
Yeah. I really thought this Navy team could win this event. And now
I did too.
It's Loyola moving on. Rocco, Army gets a home game after they took care of American. Army with never been to the NCAA tournament. One of that very short list of teams that have been members of D1 since its inception and never been to the NCAA tournament. They've got a real shot to make it because yeah. I think they could beat Loyola. And then it comes down to either Colgate or Bucknell, and they would host it if it's Bucknell.
And guess who the only team to beat Colgate is, Chad?
Army.
That would be Army.
Army, yep.
But they're 1-3 against them. But still, hey, they beat them once. They can do it. A good win for Army today. They left no doubt. 23-point win. That bodes well for what's coming Wednesday. I am really excited about Loyola, though. I've talked about them for the last 18 months here. And Santi Aldama, and his prowess, the best player in the Patriot, now a sophomore. Pretty cool if they win as well. So I'm pretty happy no matter who comes out of that.
Yeah, Colgate-Bucknell game. Interesting. Yeah, Bucknell, nice road win. And interestingly enough, Colgate, yeah. This is the first team not named Holy Cross, BU, or Army that they've played all season. So so Colgate gets to play something they've never seen before in the semifinal. Then they may play another team that they have seen before when they get to the championship game, for all we know. Those games will be coming up Wednesday night. I think I called that Bucknell upset last night. I do like this Bucknell team. I think they can give Colgate a game. Over in the SoCon, it was quarterfinal day, and we began, Rocco, with Citadel hanging with Greensboro with a real shot at winning, and that was the only game that ended up not being an upset.
Right. Yeah, Citadel really brought it today. And that was cool because I think it was representative of what their season was like. UNCG was only up by two, I think, with 2.5 to go. A couple of late misses got it stretched out to an 8-point loss. But kudos to the Bulldogs. It's they're, you know, probably the highest they've finished in the metrics in some time. They got close to 200. I think they're 215 here on the Pomeroy site. But overall, that's a roaring success. They got 6 SoCon wins and something to build on. They've got a handful of underclassmen that hopefully they get them all back.
Yeah, ETSU took care of Chattanooga by 10. And David, then Wofford was down huge to Mercer, made a big comeback, had a shot at the end, but was not able to convert. And Mercer pulls off the upset.
Yeah, and you know, Wofford missed the bus or something. Just fell way behind, and so much so that, you know, I kind of quit paying attention to it, and then just saw the scores that they were cutting into it. But a nice win for a Mercer team that looked pretty good at the beginning of the year, and then looked good at least for the first part of the game today. But Furman sort of did the opposite. It looked like that they weren't way ahead, but it seemed like they were in control of that game.
Well, there was a 12-0 run at the end of regulation by VMI to force overtime. And then Furman actually made a shot at the buzzer at the end of overtime, but they were down 3 and it was a 2, which really really cost them, because they thought they had tied the game for half a second, but it was just they caught the ball at the wrong spot. But Rocco, Greensboro gets ETSU, which I think is an interesting game. And Mercer, always. VMI. VMI, the favorite according to seeds here.
Crazy. I think that first semifinal, you think back to last year, things got pretty heated all year long on Twitter on who was better between ETSU and UNCG. In fact, the last couple of years. And now ETSU is supposed to be rebuilding, but they just won't go away. And here they are in the semifinals. And, you know, I think UNCG fans I don't think the players are, but they're a little nervous about this one. I'll tell you that. And then in the VMI Mercer game, we know about VMI. They were shut down last week. It was so great to see them come back to full strength. I was really concerned that they might be missing some guys or not play really well here in the tournament, and I was wrong, so that's great. And Mercer is now also full strength, so good to see two teams that got shutdowns this year. I think Mercer had multiple shutdowns have a chance to play in the final, and just two really easy programs to root for.
Over in the Summit League, David, it was the first two quarterfinals, and neither of them was very competitive. South Dakota State and South Dakota both rolled on.
Yeah, real shocking results today out of the SoCon, or out of the Summit. We hardly ever see chalk in this.
Yeah, this is a conference that always has upsets, but we got a pair of very interesting games. I think this Oral Roberts, North Dakota, and the North Dakota State Kansas City game could both be really good ones tomorrow.
Yeah, they could be. Kansas City back at full strength, looking a lot better in the latter part of the season. And North Dakota State is a team that is, well, they certainly exceeded my expectations this year. So
yeah,
that
I agree, David.
Kind of fun.
I like this Kansas City team. I kind of hope they can make a run.
Yeah.
I mean, and I actually picked North Dakota State to win this tournament, but I also think that this might be their toughest game to win the tournament because South Dakota State's a little undermanned, and at South Dakota, I haven't fully believed in them all season. So
they got the home court advantage though. So there's the equalizer. Yeah.
West Coast Conference, late last night after we finished the show, Santa Clara held on to beat Pacific. As we record right now, they're in a 5-point game with Pepperdine. So if you want to find out who won that game, you have to check the scoreboard or check the conference tournament tab up there. By the time you read this, this game should be final. But Rocco, St. Mary's and Loyola Marymount, the first game tonight was just a flat-out ugly game.
That's what we call around here, Chad. A Randy Bennett special. That's exactly what St. Mary's wanted to do, and LMU fell in the trap. So yeah, it's a impressive win. I actually thought LMU would beat them. But St. Mary's now beat them twice this year, so I guess I shouldn't be that surprised. I think they can, you know, schematically mess with Gonzaga. They did once this year. Who they'll play next? But I think it's just one of those things that we've already seen this year. It might be interesting for a half or a little past the, you know, 5-minute mark in the second half before Gonzaga finally overcomes all the, you know, all the junk they throw on defense. That's what St. Mary's does to throw you off. Just ask Colorado State if you don't believe me.
And it'll be interesting to see this Santa Clara team who came out of the first round. If they can get by Pepperdine tonight, you know, who knows? Yeah. They could even take down BYU.
Right. But, yeah. And remember the last game, they really fought Gonzaga. So they're playing pretty well right now.
But again, we'll actually talk about that. The West Coast Conference is off on Sunday. So we'll be able to talk about those semifinals tomorrow night. One more conference that was in action today. It was first round day in the Colonial. Rocco, just a pair of ugly blowouts as Elon and Bill and Mary both cruised into the quarterfinal round.
Hey, and how about Elon? Like the five game winning streak, I think. back when they were 0-7 in the conference, I gave him a shout out. And,
you did.
and with James Madison's injury to Matt Lewis, I mean, they're kind of the trendy upset pick tomorrow. So watch out for that. That should be a pretty good game, with especially with him out. It is on James Madison's home court, but Elon playing very well. Won by 21 today.
Yeah, David, three other interesting games: Hofstra, Delaware, Northeastern, Bill and Mary, Charleston, Drexel. I think Northeastern's going to roll, but the other two games I think could be really good ones.
Yeah, they really could. I still can't help but really like this Hofstra team. I still keep waiting for them to become the best team in the conference, much like how I keep waiting for Richmond to do that. But, but Hofstra, Delaware, that's going to be really good.
That's it for the games that were played today. There are two other conferences in action tomorrow, both with their championship games. Beginning, David, with the Atlantic Sun, where Liberty, no matter what, does get the auto bid, but they do get, you know, there could be two teams celebrating at the end of the game if North Alabama can knock them off tomorrow.
Yeah, because, again, Liberty, either by default or via winning the championship, will lock up the automatic bid. So why not just let North Alabama have the moment?
It could hurt their seed. I mean, North Alabama entered this tournament in the 300s. They're now up to 289. So, you know, Liberty could be the difference between 13 or 14. But, yeah, you're right. And I'm sure they want that trophy. So it'll be – hopefully it's a good game.
The other game, though, Rocco, the Big South Championship. This one is for all the marbles. Campbell is at Winthrop, coming off of Campbell's huge win over Radford on Thursday. I think Winthrop's a better team, but I just, you know, with what Campbell did to Radford, I don't know.
Right. And well, it's their offense. You know, it's going to come down, I think, to Winthrop's defense, and especially early on, because when they struggled with Campbell in the one game, they let Campbell get hot. They were down huge at halftime, actually. Miracle Winthrop won that game. But in the other one, they really started taking some things away, and they learned some lessons in game two. Let's see if that carries over to the final. Campbell's really in a flow offensively. They're going to need to get some stops too. I think it's going to come down to, can Campbell get off to that hot start? And if they do, it will make for a really interesting finish. Otherwise, Winthrop can put the clamps on early.
We were originally slated to also have the first game of the MEAC tournament tomorrow. It was the bottom two teams of the South Division. Unfortunately, South Carolina State went into a COVID pause, and they are not going to be participating in the MEAC tournament. So the MEAC won't be starting until Thursday. So that is it for the games for tomorrow. So on that note, why don't we check in on our survival board here?
Oh yes, the survival board.
The survival board. This is a you know, where we track what teams are still alive to win the NCAA tournament, and it's a tool we use for the selection committee. And heading into the day, there were 265 teams left with a chance to win the national championship.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, it was a really busy day today, and I don't think anybody was under consideration that lost. So.
Yeah, and well, St. Louis is, but
St. Louis, okay.
Yeah, but as a result of today's game, we had our first significant jumps that we've had. We've been complaining about how slow it's been going. We're all the way down to 233 as a result of today's game. So
wow,
big jump.
And we've got teams in different formats here. For example, we have teams that are in bold in all caps, like Morehead State there in the Ohio Valley. That is a team that has locked up an automatic bid. They are in no matter what.
Yeah, and so is Liberty, as you noticed that.
Yeah. We have Colorado, USC. They are in bold. That means that they are a lock. If the selection committee is wondering whether they should be in or not, they can come here. It's a tool they can use. They know that Colorado is in. They know that USC is in.
Yeah. Yeah, they look at this, and that's how they know to select them.
If they're looking at Drake, they'll see they're in italics. That means it's a team they've got to debate.
If Drake can
wrap up the automatic bid tomorrow, then they have to take them. But if Drake loses, they'll have to debate them. And if you're a team like Air Force, your only shot is to win an automatic bid.
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, why don't we go to our feature?
All right, yes. And again, this is Coaches on the Hot Seat.
As you can see, Rocco, this is our Hoops HD hot seat. We've been going through coaches for various reasons. They might be on the hot seat, including, you know, see the ones we've fortunately.
Oh, no, they're definitely already on the
hot seat. They are on the hot seat. And today I want to take a look at another coach that's on the hot seat. And, it is Coach K. And And, you know, everyone talks about, you know, Hall of Famer, how great he is. Well, I actually went
and looked. Had a rough year.
I went and looked up Coach K's actual record. And Rocco, here's Coach K's record. 181 and 137 overall. That's it. Only four NCAA tournaments, and two of them were back when he coached Montana. I guess he made the CBA championship game when he was in this coach of the CBA. But, you know, Rock, I don't get why everyone thinks Coach K is so great.
Yeah, I mean, that's very mediocre, Chad.
That's Coach K's stats, isn't it, David?
It is, yes.
What, you think I got the wrong Coach K or something?
No. Maybe in the picture, but that's Coach K's stats.
That Coach K may actually be on the hot seat. We'll see. Yeah. It's been about 5 years since he made the NCAA tournament out there in Utah. But I don't know, let's pull this down here and go to any other final thoughts. Rocco, let us start with you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very busy day. Something that came to mind just at towards the end of the night, just looking ahead, is in the CAA, we got three teams coming off of like really long pauses. And thank goodness they got all 10 teams to at least compete. Although Wilmington looked very undermanned today. So we have Delaware, hasn't played since January, 35-day break, playing against Hofstra, who's on a 21-day break. So, and, you know, they split the season series. So that's about as unpredictable of a game as you can find anywhere. And Northeastern themselves hasn't played since that North Carolina game 18 days ago. They got shut down right after that. So they're the two seed. So to say, if you're looking for a tournament that's absolutely wide open, it's the CAA.
Yeah, I was really, really worried that the CAA tournament would be down to about four teams. You know, when in the last weekend of the season, I think all but one game was canceled. I'm very encouraged at the fact that they all got there somehow. But David, you want to finish off the show?
Well, my final thought is in protest. I'm not sharing any more wisdom until you turn my power back on and let me out of the bunker.
Sorry. We'll work on that. We'll see if we can get you back tomorrow. On that note, though, on behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs from the Powerless Puppet Bunker, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Have a great evening or a great morning, everybody. And we'll be back again tomorrow night.